So this is down to brass tacks. We do apologize. There was a break in transmission at one stage during the OCM network news. Before that, we were hearing from the Attorney General, Dale Marshall, and he said all businesses are closed until the 15th. Now, when he spoke in Parliament earlier, he did go on to spell out exactly what he meant. Down to brass tacks. Let's take another caller. We might have had some technical challenges there. Do forgive us, and we apologize for that. Hello? You're on the air.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay.
In light of all that we have been hearing about the COVID and so on, how is this going to, or should it affect intimacy between husband and wives?
You're an expert on that, tell me.
Well, I don't have any partner. And,
so it shouldn't affect you?
Yeah, it wouldn't affect me, but...
So what is your projection?
My projection is that take a sabbatical for the period of times that we are advised to do other things. What do you think?
Well,
the truth
of the matter is that you are the person speaking.
Yes.
I'm a listener in this regard. Let me hear you.
Well, I said, discuss this with your partner. Take a sabbatical from having sexual intercourse, because as it is understood and known, you have to come face to face, nose to nose, mouth to mouth, saliva, sweats, and all that goes with it during that operation. So taking a sabbatical is not difficult. I have done it for 2 decades, so it can be done. Pretend as though you and your partner is not green, and you sleep in separate bedrooms.
We don't open a consultancy dealing with that, though.
It seems as though you're
a specialist, such a specialist in this field. I'm sure that there are some people who would be willing to pay you for a little bit of advice.
But I'm only offering a suggestion in light of COVID.
I hear you.
See, and I mean, there's a sofa in the front house in most houses. If there's not another bedroom or another room, you can use the sofa for sleeping and so on. And then one person will stay in the bedroom, one will sleep in the sofa, or you can interchange whatever word you want to use, so that you will stay from each other so closely, whether it is twice a week or once a week.
Okay, all right.
You understand?
I understand. Well, you know, thanks for the advice on behalf of all the other people out there who may consider it important. And I want you to continue living the way that you have been living and try your best to be COVID-free. All right? Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. 16 minutes after midday. Hello. Welcome to the program. We're going up until 2 o'clock today. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Right. Okay, I don't know if you saw today's newspaper, The Nation, at the back page, where Warren Nowell, let me see if I got the headline right, let me see quickly. Yeah, warn them, senior attorney's way of keeping court safe. They have a very, I would say, a very distressing picture at the back of that paper, where a 74-year-old John Cornelius Pollard was before the courts for stealing, or he was charged with, and later pleaded guilty to stealing a bar of blue soap, a pack of detergent, and 3 pastries valued at $9.88. And because he had a cough, he was made to stand at the bottom of the step, and the magistrate, she went through the procedure of telling him what you know, the whatever. You know, this smacks so wrong in so many ways. Hold on a bit. Shit.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, this
I don't think the producer even heard that. Yes,
this smacks, I apologize for that, though, by the way.
Yeah.
This smacks so wrong in so many ways. Where you have a 74-year-old man, I'm not in any way encouraging stealing, but to have to see this man like that, just looking up as though he's looking to heavens for some relief, and the magistrate at the top of the stairs, you know, reading, you know, his charge and that kind of stuff. I don't know how to take that. I don't know if it's a reflection of our society. Well, clearly it's a reflection of how afraid we are of contracting the COVID-19. But I would want to agree with the lawyer who suggested that we deal with such matters in a different way, common matters. And this man, this 74-year-old, a bar of blue soap? Why is it? I mean, the company has all right to pursue what they think is legally correct. But why is it that in a Christian society, couldn't that manager of that shop say, look, take the blue soap, take the pack of detergent and three pastries, and don't come back in here?
But there are two issues that you're dealing with. You're dealing with, one, how should the complainant deal with the matter in the circumstances?
Right.
And two, how should the court deal with it in circumstances where there's COVID-19 and there's fear? Mm-hmm. And one suggestion coming from the attorney is that these people who are accused of minor offenses or traffic violations should be warned instead of being hauled to court. Now, that is for the court to decide, but I think you have to appreciate the concern that is coming from the people who are presiding over the court as well. They tell the rest of us not to panic, but essentially you would appreciate that there is some measure of panic once it is done like this. And because we are all caught in this situation now for the first time, rules are being shaped as you go along. Not everybody has the rule in place. The question is, if we practice social distancing, why would it be necessary to put him outside of the court and on the step? What are the challenges within the room itself that would not have allowed him to stay in the court, but be within a safe distance from the magistrate and from other people within that court? So, I mean, this is something that we have to work out. And I agree with you, it doesn't look good, but it's a picture that is worth 1,000 words.
It says again, and I think that maybe the supermarkets are putting this perplexing, I think that's what you call it, you know, to, I feel they could build a sort of, you know, a little something there to bar off the accused, you call them, you know, when they're interacting with what's going on in the court, so that you will have no problem. But then again, when you say that another person is going to go in there, and this, the whole thing is going to confuse the issue, because I wouldn't want to go in some place that somebody who was coughing and sputtering, you know, because although I might be in court for something, I still have my rights, you see. So it's really a dilemma. But the overarching problem is that this thing looks so wrong. Anyway.
Okay.
All right, thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you for calling as well. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Afternoon. Am I on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have a question that I was hoping I would have been able to get a solution today. It's in reference to having a medication replacement. Now, I have my prescriptions, which are going to expire. Not the prescription won't expire, but the quantity that I have fulfilled will only last me for another 5 or 6 days. So that will be within the period when they say that there's not to be movement around. And I am a senior citizen anyway, and it's very difficult for me to get all these things done. So I was trying, I called the agency to find out, you know, how could I get the renewal of the prescription. And she just read from some booklet that says, you know, this is what you do. You have to take your prescription, and they will replace it as soon as you can produce evidence that you have a valid prescription. And that's not helping me. What I need to know is, like, from now, in 5 days, when my prescription expires, where would I possibly be able to go to get my new prescription?
Have you spoken to your doctor about this?
I get my medication from the polyclinic.
From the polyclinic, and therefore...
And that has in itself is a major problem, as you might know. But generally, you know, you go, you have to wait. I'm not opposed to that. That's what I have to do. Mm. But there'll be where to go, because they're saying that all of these facilities will cease operating in the next 5 days, 10 days.
Well, that's a question for the authorities. They need to make information available to people like you.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Especially those of you who use the polyclinic system. There are people who go to their private doctors and they get, you know, advice, and they're able to try to see how they can maneuver through the system.
Right.
But
right.
Those of you who are going through the polyclinic system may have a greater challenge, and that this is where, I mean, you're trying to stop people from dying from COVID, but in so doing, you don't want to kill them from something else, which is the lack of medication for serious problems.
Anyway, I just want to stop them dying. But the thing is that I would need to have access to that. The person at the pharmacy would not be available to be preparing prescriptions in 10 days. It's not like something that I could buy in the supermarket and leave. That person would have to be available to fulfill the prescription. And then, they have the prescriptions there, the equipment, they have to go and locate these things and all like that. I just wondered, I tried to talk to them, but they just said, well, you know what, you have to do, this is how you do it. So I'd appreciate it if perhaps someone from the Ministry of Health or something could provide a little more information.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll see if we get somebody to answer that for us. Hello, Dr. Brastacks. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good afternoon.
I want to give a special word of thanks to the media. We often forget how important it is to have communication so that in times of crisis, we are informed as well as entertained. Now, I think someone made a comment about the way that the situation is being handled within the country. And I want to commend the government, because crisis management is not regular management. And the fluidity of a situation will be a strong determinant in how you are able to do things. I want to entreat all of us Barbadians, and those who are not Barbadians but are resident, whether in ambassadorial posts or otherwise, to remember that this is not your average situation. And I think the government's administration, the Prime Minister, and all of the arms of government are doing the best that they can given the circumstances. Now, I was privy to a conversation where someone was made aware of what Prime Minister Motley was saying about the curfew. And their response, young person, their response was, you know, nobody can tell them what to do, when to walk about, and so on. Now, I want to bring to bear something that is very salient when you are dealing with a crisis. In a crisis, you have to have strong, decisive, and firm leadership. And you cannot compare that sort of situation where in a liberal democracy you have certain freedoms and so on. I was listening to the feed before it was interrupted with the Honorable Attorney General, Mr. Dale Marshall, indicating what was vital and necessary for the preservation of life. Now, having said that, we know that all the systems will not be flawless and so on. But I'm suggesting where you can offer sound advice, either based on analysis or experience, you do so. And not try to score political points and foolishness at a time like this. Now, for people who have compromised health and so on, there are the first persons we have to care about, if this is the caring society that we claim it is. Therefore, you have heard the Prime Minister, you have heard others appealing to be your brother's or sister's keeper. If you can help somebody or put a word of advice, let us say...
We're going to have to curtail your contribution right now, though, because we're going to the latest news. I want to thank you very much, and you can come back after or at a later stage so that we can explore this particular theme a bit more. Well, we did try to bring you some further details of the business closures affected by the curfew that comes into effect from 8 o'clock tomorrow night until 6 a.m. the next day. And this, as you know, should run down to the 14th of the month. All businesses close until the 15th, is it? What the Attorney General said in Parliament. So I think in view of the questions that will prevail over that and the extent to which some people might have missed what he had to say, we're now going to give you some of those details by flashing back to what the Attorney General said in Parliament earlier this morning in leading off debate on the Emergency Management Amendment Bill.
Now, sir, I have got probably about 400 WhatsApp messages and as many calls, and everybody in here has got, I'm sure, many of the same or more. But let's look at the logic of it. What would be the point, sir, of keeping businesses open so their employees come to work and their customers come and go, and those customers may or may not catch a bus to come and go, and then have a requirement which would say that grocery stores are open and so on and so on and so on? We will in effect not be achieving anything, sir. This is not a curfew to maintain law and order. If you have a curfew to maintain law and order, place shuts down at night and you go about your business during the day. This is a period during which we are going to severely and in a compulsory way restrict human activity. Plain and simple. With the exceptions of a few businesses, and I'll tell you what those are, all businesses are closed. So the hairdresser, sir, is closed. The nail salon, the computer store, the place that rents tables and chairs, the construction companies, the manufacturers of paints and plastics and all those things, sir, are all closed. The reason is because we want to limit human contact of your employees and your consumers. Now, there are two riders to that. Essential services remain open. I think that's logical. Now, sir, essential services are defined for this purpose as being, and I'll give you the exact definition. I think people know what we mean by essential services, but for clarity, let me say, under this legislation, it will mean the medical profession, the paramedical profession, staff of pharmaceutical agencies, staff of hospitals, clinics and pharmacies, persons employed or engaged as caregivers. So let me make this clear. Your household help, if you have a maid or some other kind of domestic worker, that doesn't apply. That's not an essential service. But if you are a caregiver, So a person who is a night nurse for an elderly person who may have Alzheimer's, or somebody who comes in during the day to provide home help and so on, sir. Not your maid, but somebody who is a caregiver. We have decided to treat those as an essential service. Now, sir, let me say, the one thing about a government is that they must govern, they must make decisions. And we can't be bound by other people's strictures. We recognize that in Barbados, we have a large number of elderly people who rely on somebody to come in and take care of them. It's often a family member. Often it's a family member. Often, sir, it is not even a business. Because it's businesses that we're closing. And if it's not a business, then the lawyers would say, well, that's not covered. That's not prohibited. But the point is, we want to make it clear that caregivers are going to be entitled to move around at night or day. Law enforcement officers, obvious. Defense force officers, obvious. But we're also including customs officers, sir. Prison officers. Security services, sir. Now let me offer an explanation. During the curfew period, you're not allowed to be on the road. Businesses will be closed. It is important, and we've made it quite clear, that businesses have to be responsible for their own security. At this time, sir, we cannot deploy members of the BDF or the police to be guarding people's warehouses and office buildings. That's not what we're about. So they still have to take care and pay due regard to their own circumstances. There are a number of security companies that monitor. They monitor the alarm systems. They have response teams, companies that provide security guards, sir. All of those are considered essential services and will be allowed to move about and do their business night or day. Disaster management services, again, that's essential. Firefighting services, also essential. The provision of electricity, telecommunications, media, and broadcasting services, sir. We consider that to be an essential service. We can't afford for electricity to be down, no matter what. We can't afford for our telecommunications systems to be affected, no matter what. But equally, sir, at this point in time, the role of the media and the broadcasting companies is more critical than ever, because where there is a vacuum on information, then fake news and rumor will spread. So it's important to us that media and broadcasting remain available to work night and day so that news, whether it is good or bad, will reach the Barbadian public and the international community. Also, as an essential service, is the provision of transport services, whether by aircraft, ship, motor vehicle, or public service vehicle. So we think that's fairly self-evident. It is still important for transport services to be available. The operation of the airport and seaport, you know, there are a number of people who have been saying for the longest time, we need to close this, we need to close that. It is so short-sighted, sir. We're trying to ensure that we have at least 6 months supply of medication for Barbados. Any kind of medication. Okay? We've instructed the drug service to stockpile medication because we don't know where this is going. I understand that there are 134 medications that are short in the United States. We want to make sure that Barbadians are not in a position where they have to suffer because these things are not available. No, sir, if we don't make them here, and we don't, we have to bring them in. Yep. Plain and simple. There are things that we need that will have to come in by ship. There are things that we need that will have to come in by plane. So the airport and the seaport are essential services. And when we talk about the services, obviously we mean the people too who are employed in those services. The collection, storage, purification, or distribution of water by use, water for use by the public or any section of the public. So, Barbadians, you know, we saying, wash your hands, but there has to be water. And that's a special plea for St. Joseph, if you don't mind, sir. And St. Thomas, let's get some water. The collection, storage, treatment, and disposal of sewage, garbage, or refuse, also an essential service, so they are going to be allowed to work night or day. And finally, sir, the removal, handling, or burial of deceased persons or disposal of dead animals. That's self-explanatory. So all of those businesses, all of those enterprises, all of that activity that I've just mentioned are unaffected by this curfew order. Those entities, whatever you want to call them, will continue to function as per usual. Now, what do I mean by as per usual, though? As far as time is concerned. But we still expect that wherever possible, those entities will try to scale back the number of people that are engaged. Because at all times we want to stem the spread of this disease. So, we start out with all businesses are closed, but essential services are able to move around. But of course, sir, we recognize that there are still some necessaries that Barbadians will be entitled to access. And I'll go through the list with you, but the principle is that during daylight hours, Barbadians still need to be able to go to the supermarket and get groceries. They still need to be able to go to the pharmacist and get their medication. And then once you get to that point, then you recognize that there are some entities in Barbados that are actually producing food for our consumption. So during this two-week period, the following enterprises are going to be allowed to operate. And JS is going to publish this list, but I'm going to go through it fairly carefully now. Abattoirs, butcher shops, and fish markets are going to be allowed to operate between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Now, let me make it clear. The government of Barbados is not telling a company when it should open or when it should close. We want you to use your good sense. We want you to employ skeleton staff. But what we are saying is that we are setting the beginning limit and the closing limit. So an enterprise that is allowed to function may say, having regard to the demand out there, having regard to all these issues, we see that we could open at 8, but frankly, we're going to open at 10. And we see that we can close at 5, but we believe it is better to close at 2. So this is not a case at all where we're saying that you have to open at X time or Y time. We're saying that between 8 and 5, abattoirs can function. They open whenever they want. They have social distancing, physical distancing, but that's the window within which they can operate. Now, the reason for this window should be obvious. The curfew ends at 6, and people need to be able to get from their homes into the workplace. The workplace needs to be able to function as an abattoir, for an example. But the important thing is that we ensure that there's a supply of food for Barbadians and that Barbadians can access those supplies. Bakeries, sir, will be allowed to open between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Farms will be allowed to open between 5 a.m. and 6 p.m. Pharmaceutical manufacturers of juices, soft drinks, and dairy products, food processors, and food distributors will be allowed to open between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. banks, credit unions, and other financial institutions, excluding insurance companies, will be allowed to open between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. So we're not saying that a bank has to open at 9 and close at 5. They can open at 10 and close at 2. That's up to them. But we are setting the limits between which you can operate, do business, and interface with the public. Cleaning services will be able to operate between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Restaurants, sir, will be able to operate between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m., but only for the purposes of drive-through or takeaway. So don't let's have any confusion. Any restaurant, whether you're a fast food restaurant or a fine dining restaurant or a cook shop, whatever you are, you operate between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m., but you are not to allow dining on the premises. You can do drive-through, so McDonald's or Burger King drive-through, Chefette drive-through, KFC drive-through. You can go in, purchase, and take away, but you're not allowed to consume, to dine on the premises, and your times of operation are severely limited, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Naturally, sir, we need to have fuel to power our vehicles, fuel to run the turbines, to run our generators. So fuel manufacturers, fuel storage facilities, and fuel distributors will be allowed to operate between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. Gas stations will be allowed to operate between 7 a.m. and I think that was 5 p.m., but 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Now, sir, delivery services have become very popular, especially now that people are physically distancing and companies are now making quite a bit of money delivering food, delivering groceries, and so on. So delivery services relating to the delivery of food, groceries, and pharmaceuticals will be able to operate between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. We've had questions about hotels, sir. Hotels and villas are going to be allowed to operate for the entire 24-hour period. That's clear. Hotels and villas will operate for the entire 24-hour period. However, gaming rooms, spas, gyms, discos, restaurants, other than for takeaway service and room service, golf courses, lawn tennis, squash courts, all of those ancillary services are to be closed. There's no point having a hotel open, trying to ensure physical distancing, but they can all sit down and have nice dinners or nice lunches and nice breakfasts and go and play squash and all those things, sir. They're allowed to be open, but all of those recreational activities that are allied and on the premises are to be closed. Now, there's logic about that you can't avoid. If you close a hairdressing salon on High Street, there's no reason why you should allow the hairdressing salon that is in the lobby of a hotel to operate. Plain and simple. Okay? So hotels are allowed to accept guests, but all of those ancillary recreational services are excluded. We have Portville Sugar Factory, sir, that runs 3 shifts. Portville Sugar Factory will be excluded from the curfew. Private veterinary services, as needed, will be allowed. Obviously, animals in distress, things of that sort, people have to be able to have the animals tended to. So, sir, in the private sector, all businesses are to be closed except for those that I have just mentioned. So, no point in calling. No point in reaching out to your MP. No point calling a congressman. You are closed. Now, the statute does give the opportunity, sir, for exemptions to be made other than these. Now, let's make it clear. None of us have a claim to be all-knowing and all-seeing. And we recognize that when we state a list like this, there's always the possibility of something else that feeds into the process. There's always that possibility, sir. So, we have to make provision for exemptions. And we already have an exemption in relation to construction. Construction is closed. If you are building a step, a guard wall, a house, a factory, work ceases during that period. I hope I'm making myself clear, sir. I hope I'm making myself clear. However, the government is under an imperative to get Harrison's Point open to receive COVID victims within the next week or two. So I've already indicated to the Minister of Health that those construction companies that are working at Harrison's Point to get the naval base ready, they will be given an exemption. That is a matter of national interest. Now, of course, to work in St. Lucie. So if John Brown Construction Company is given an exemption to work in St. Lucie, that is not that does not extend to him finishing the house in Durance that he started week before. That site at Durance, or wherever it is closed. However, he can work at Harrison's Point. Construction requires supplies. Hardware stores are closed, all of them. However, for the limited purpose of supplying goods to the Harrison's Point operation, they will be allowed to open. Okay? I hope that's clear. Let me put it another way. The hardware store in Lower Estate or up Christchurch will be closed. However, if for Harrison's Point a particular item or series of items are required that they produce, we will allow the exemption to extend to that. But it's not to come and open the store. It is to go to your warehouse, select the goods, and get them delivered up to Harrison's Point. Anything beyond that is a breach of the order and will attract the severest of penalties.
Well, you have heard quite a lot from the Attorney General there in that piece, which he delivered to the House of Assembly earlier today. We thought it important that you should hear those details, and I think many people would be better informed now as to what are the businesses that are considered essential and those that are not. And the government has made it quite clear that it expects members of the public to respect the rules that are laid down here.